Let's start. What do you say?
Yes.
Right up 1:30. You don't get punished for showing up on time. Anybody else who wants to join us? They'll just come on in. Who has a cell phone? Do you have your cell phone on you? You mind if I say, would you open it up to your apps?
Kind of nervous?
You mind if I see it for a second?
Sure.
You got some pretty good apps on here, but this one's not good. This one right here is a terrible app. It will bring negative energy to your phone. I'm just going to delete it. Is that okay?
No?
Well, it's one that I know is not any good for her, and I think I should delete it. Is that all right? Why is there angst in here? You would never do that to a human cell phone. You would never walk up and say, I want to rearrange your apps, and I want to do it without your permission. So don't do it to a human's mind either. You don't have that permission. You don't have permission to assume what's wrong with them. You don't have permission to assume what their issue is. You don't have permission when a 400-pound person comes in and sits down in your office to say, how much weight do you want to lose? Because every time they're going to say, I came here to quit smoking. Don't assume. You can presuppose, and I love the NLP presuppositions, you can presuppose that they have everything they need to solve their problems. You can presuppose that they know who they are. You can presuppose that they are here for a change because they came to you and they're sitting in your office. You can presuppose some things, including that they have all of the answers. Presuppose that. But you can't presuppose anything else about them unless you're a mind reader. Now, let me take a step back. Are there mind readers in the room? Okay. You guys, so tell me what number I'm thinking right now. No?
Not four.
Not four. Not nine. Right? So you might be able to read a person. You might be able to notice micro expressions. But if the person sitting in your chair doesn't want you to know what's going on in their mind, you're not reading their mind. They can hide it from you.
That's true.
You can have them deeply hypnotized. And if they want to lie to you, they're going to lie to you. Hypnosis is not a truth serum. Hypnosis is a tool. And if someone believes in hypnosis or experiences hypnosis in the way they believe it, then you've got a chance of making some progress. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But the only thing we know for sure when the client sits down in our office or sits across from us or on Zoom or wherever you do it is that the trance they're in right now isn't working for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't want to change. So unless you know exactly what trance they're in right now, you might want to ask, what trance are you in right now?
Listening.
The listening trance. What trance are you in, Linda?
Learning.
The learning trance. Most of you in here are in the listening learning trance. You came to me that way. You didn't come to me in the disruptive trance. Right? I'd have sent you to Kaz's talk. I'm kidding. You came here to learn something. Guess what trance I'm in? I'm in the teaching trance. Right? So we're already in our own trance right here. I believe hypnosis is BS. So is NLP. It's all BS. Belief system. It is all about belief system. Your clients will bring their BS to you. They will bring their belief system to you. You will possess a belief system when they come to you. Now, trust me on this. If you believe that you're doing magic, please keep doing your magic on them. Because apparently it's working or you wouldn't still believe in it. Okay? I happen to believe that I don't do magic. Oh, I have a book, Magic Words and Language Patterns, because, yeah, we can do magic. But I don't believe that I am doing something to somebody. I don't have that power. God, I wish I did. If I had that power, I would have hung out at the lottery office years ago. The biggest Powerball jackpot, I would have done the zap, gotten their money, and I would be in Fiji right now, not here with you. You've never read about that happening. It's never going to happen because we don't do magic. We do strategic trickery. Ooh, does that make it sound like underworld stuff, magical stuff? It's not. It's strategic trickery. We, as soon as we know how a person is thinking about a thing, we can then help them think a different way about that thing. Okay? So if I had a client, well, I did have a client, who came to move more. He wanted motivation for exercise. Now, I know the perfect suggestion for that. The perfect suggestion is, first thing in the morning, put your walking or running shoes right by your bed. As soon as you wake up in the morning, your feet will go right in those shoes, you'll get dressed, and you'll be exercising before you even wake up and know about it. Boy, that's a damn fine suggestion, isn't it? Until somebody says, no, I've got a new baby, and I've got to feed the baby before I can go walking. Well, if I didn't bother to ask what their life is like, I've just broken rapport because I've given them a suggestion that can't possibly work for them. I don't care how great a suggestion it was. I don't care how well it worked for Linda, or how well it worked for anybody else, or how well it works for me. I am helping that client in front of me change. The first thing I have to find out is how they're doing it now. Because if I don't know how they're doing it now, how am I going to help them change to do something else? Why am I going to waste a lot of time making a lot of suggestions that might be rejected? Let me be honest with you and tell you, I've got some notes hidden back here because I want to make sure that I don't get too far off track, which I have a tendency to do. But my notes will keep us on track, I promise you. I believe we're all like that cell phone. Now, in fairness, cell phones are like us because we were invented first, but it was modeled after us. So go with me on this metaphor, okay? When you get a brand new cell phone, it's perfect. It's got email, it's got messaging, it's got a phone, it's got a camera. I mean, it's got everything you could possibly need, right? It's got a perfectly working operating system. And the first day you have it, you start customizing it for yourself. You want a particular game. You download an app for that. You want a scheduling program. You download an app for that. You want all sorts of other things on your phone specifically for you. You customize it for yourself, and you download the app for that. Gary, what do you do when an app is outdated or isn't working anymore? You delete it and get on with it. What do you do? Update it. Update it. Does anybody just leave the apps on the phone? Yeah, okay, fess up. I do too. Okay, I'll be honest with you. This metaphor was born at the Apple store because I took my phone in once for an upgrade. I bought a new phone and, you know, the genius converted everything over. And she said, do you know you have 9 pages of apps on your phone? And I went, wow! I thought maybe I'd won something, right? Maybe that was a prime number or something. She said, do you use all of these? I went, I don't even know what most of them are. And she said, do you know what happens? Those apps are always running in the background. They are always running in the background, using up battery life, using up bandwidth, and just waiting to jump out whenever they think it's important for you to use them. And I went, well, I don't think my phone has changed much. But it did birth this beautiful metaphor for how we work with clients. Because people, the day that we're born, depending on what you believe, past life, between lives, in the womb, it doesn't make any difference. At some point, we start customizing ourselves for ourselves. Imagine for a moment, let's forget about past lives and all that for just a second, but not that it doesn't exist, let's just put it aside for a second. The moment that you're born, that you plop out of that birth canal, you have a perfectly working operating system. You can digest food, you can manage waste, you can breathe, you can startle, you can do all sorts of things. You have a perfectly working operating system, and instantly you start downloading behavior apps that work for you. Mom picks you up. It's warm. Oh, you download the Warm is Good app. Oh, Rocking is Good app. Ooh, that smell is good. Oh, Food is Good. We download all sorts of apps that are good, right? If mom is mean and holds you out here and doesn't pay any attention to you, what kind of app do you download then? We download behavior apps all along the way. Behavior apps to adapt our life. Now understand, all of those levels of the mind, the conscious, the subconscious, the superconscious, the inner conscious, I don't care, whatever you want to call them, all the different mind things you want to call them, all of them, conscious mind, subconscious mind, unconscious mind, are all there to protect us. We were not invented or plopped onto the planet with destructive tendencies. They may develop over time, but our programming when we land here is to enjoy, to benefit ourselves, and to take care of ourselves. So we start downloading behaviors that work for that necessity. Had a client who had a spider phobia, and we did a little regression to find out where that spider phobia came from, and we went back to when she was 3. She was sitting on the floor in her living room, and something fuzzy walked by, and she wanted to pet it. And from behind her, her mom said, "Don't touch that, it'll kill you." It was a tarantula. It was in Texas. It was just a tarantula walking by. Tarantula probably wouldn't have killed her. But boy, mom's intention to protect her little one, she heard that. She took in that information. She accepted the suggestion. And she said, "Wow, I'm never letting that happen again." So she downloaded the behavior, avoid spiders at all cost. Because at 3, it is the only level of protection she had. Boy, was she smart. She wasn't big enough to fight the big spider. She wasn't big enough to do anything else with it. So her course of action was avoided, and she held on to that behavior because it continued to work for her until she was in her 40s. She generalized that out to all spiders, by the way, not just big fuzzy ones. She generalized that out to all spiders, and in her 40s, from her front porch, she called me one day and said, "Can you take care of spider phobias?" And I said, "Absolutely, come on in." The day she called me, she was on her front porch because she got home from the grocery store, opened the front door, and there was a spider dangling right inside the door. She slammed the door closed, called her husband at work, made him come home from work to kill the spider so she could get in the house. At that moment, not any time up to that point, it worked for her up to that point, but at that moment she said, "This is dumb. I gotta let this go. Okay, I gotta get some help for this. This is crazy." And so she came in, and all I needed to know when she came in, I knew that she had leverage for making the change, all I needed to know was, "So how long have you had this fear of spiders?" "Gosh, as long as I can remember." "Wow. Tell me about the very first time." And she thought for a moment. Boy, was she a great subject. She thought for a moment. And she said, "Well," I said, take in a deep breath and just let it go. And she closed her eyes. I didn't tell her to. She closed her eyes and she said, "I'm sitting on the floor." Bam! Thank you. That was the easiest regression I've ever done. She was right there in present tense and knew exactly what was going on and told me the whole story about the spider. Okay? And so, after she told me the story about the spider there, I simply said, "Little one, go back before you saw that spider. Just go back where you're feeling safe. Grown up, come over here and look at that little one. Are you proud of her? God, is that amazing that she has protected herself all of these years? Isn't she brilliant? Because she really has taken care of herself in a wonderful way." And the grown-up would say, "Yes. Oh, my gosh, I am so proud of you." And we started with the pride. And then I said, "I wonder, grown-up, can you give her any information that might give her a different strategy now that she's a big, full-grown adult woman?" And she said, "Yeah, you can hit it with a magazine. You can step on it. You can do all sorts of things with it." I happen to be a pacifist. Had I given her the suggestion, I might have said, spiders are people too, or creatures too, relocate that spider. That works for me. Would not have worked for this client. Does that make sense? Not in her BS. Not in her belief system. So rather than tell her, oh God, no, please don't kill the little spiders. Great! Now you've got a solution. And she grew that up. And now she had a solution. A couple of weeks later, she texted me. She had just gotten out of the shower. Don't know why she had to tell me that, but she had just gotten out of the shower and said there was a spider crawling down the tile, and she killed it with her bare hands and laughed as it went down the drain. I don't often tell that story to non-hypnotists because I don't want them to think that hypnosis creates homicidal maniacs. The point is, I didn't give her a solution. I asked her questions about what she might do now, and she downloaded a new behavior app. She rewrote that old program. She deleted it, rewrote it, upgraded it. I don't know what she did with it in her mind, but she did it. And obviously it worked because 2 weeks later she was no longer afraid. Naked and in the shower. You can't be any more vulnerable than that. Right? And she was empowered to take a different step. The point is, when she was 3, she downloaded the best possible behavior that she could come up with at the time. And it was brilliant, and it worked for her for all of those years. So the first presupposition is that whatever the clients are doing, they are doing it for the best possible reason. So when we give advice and say, oh, don't do that anymore, we're causing resistance. We're causing resistance. We're not getting resistance from the client. We're causing resistance because we have suggested that the way that it has worked for them their whole life is stupid. Boy, that doesn't build rapport, does it? So we need to know and help our clients understand that they're doing the very best they can with the information they have at hand. And as soon as they get new information, they will behave differently, right? So our job is to help them collapse the trance that they came in with. We don't have to hypnotize them and give them a bunch of suggestions to do other things that they may or may not do. Let's collapse the trance that got them to us. I happen to believe that we are always in a trance. We're in the going to church trance. We're in the dancing trance. We're in the eating trance. We're in the relaxation trance. We're in the Facebook, Instagram, TikTok trance, right? Have you ever been in the TikTok or Instagram trance for 2 hours? And you look up and go, oh my God, what happened? Was that a trance? Of course it was a trance. So I believe, because all I can do is share my BS with you, right? I believe that we're always in a trance, and I believe that hypnosis occurs, not when somebody closes their eyes or whatever. Hypnosis occurs when a suggestion is accepted and becomes a belief. Lots of people could have somebody scream at them, don't touch that. They look at them and think, what, are you nuts? They're not taking the suggestion. The suggestion isn't turning into a belief. But when that mother yelled, don't touch it, that will kill you, the little one believed it, accepted the suggestion, and moved that over into a belief. I did ask in her session if her mother was a certified hypnotist. No. Because giving suggestions isn't what hypnosis is all about. I know in most hypno training, they'll just teach you how to give suggestions. I've got a book here that will teach you how to really word your suggestions so they're effective. But that's not hypnosis. Hypnosis is when you accept the belief and then go ahead and turn it into a reality. Or accept the suggestion and turn it into a belief. So go ahead and close your eyes for a moment. Just take in a nice deep breath. And let it go. When you're ready, take in another deep breath. And as you let this one go, relax your shoulders. Take in one more deep breath. And this time, as you relax your shoulders, relax your entire body. Go as deep as you'd like to go now for learning. Right here, right now, you are learning from the inside out. You are learning. And for the rest of this conference, you are in the trance that will best take information in so that after this conference, you can take it home and use it to your best advantage because it feels so good. Take in another deep breath. As you let it go, be prepared to learn deeply today. And whenever you're ready, come on back. And join me for even more learning. Did anybody relax? Who relaxed? Mary Beth, when did you relax?
When you said, close your eyes, first word.
Okay, close your eyes. Where did you relax? Okay, did anybody relax someplace else? Yes. When I said your full body, did anybody else relax anyplace else? When I said the shoulders, did anybody not relax? It's perfectly okay in this class to disagree with me because that becomes a training moment. Did anybody not relax? Okay, but you could. You didn't relax. My husband is running the camera in the background. That's Mark Harper, my husband. He doesn't relax because he's always doing something, right? So even though I'm up here giving, softly spoken, beautifully worded suggestions, right? He didn't take the suggestion. He didn't go into the trance. He didn't make it a belief. You made it a belief as soon as I said, close your eyes, because Mary Beth knows me and trusts me. She knows I'm not going to say something weird to her. I'm guessing I might. Well, she doesn't know that for sure. Yeah, okay, she doesn't know that for sure. But at some point, right, I didn't do anything to you. At some point, you accepted the suggestion to relax, and then you went ahead and did the things that would cause your body to relax, and you went along for the ride. Okay? But if your shoulders did go down, if your body did relax, that's when you took the suggestion and created a belief. That's when hypnosis happened. But hypnosis has been going on since the moment you walked in here. If you don't believe that, what did you walk into? Right? You walked into a presentation. I intended to hypnotize you about my professionalism or whatever. When you walked in, I'm reeling you in as you come in. Yes, just like parking spaces. There's another metaphor for hypnosis. A parking lot is a great metaphor for hypnosis because somebody drew those suggestions on the concrete. They're just suggestions. And people come into the parking lot in various degrees of acceptability. Some people are in the perfectionist trance, and boy, they park right between the lines. Some people are in the I don't give a shit trance, and they park anywhere they want to go. Some people are in the I'm in too big a hurry trance, and they park right up next to the store, get their business done, and leave. Some people are in the my little red car is better than your car, and so I want two spaces so nobody can hit it trance. But when you look at a parking lot, you'll know exactly what trance each person came into the parking lot in, and you will know that every driver from every car in that parking lot is hypnotizable. How do you know that everybody in that parking lot is hypnotizable, even if they didn't park between the lines? How do you know that?
Because
what?
They're all driving.
Because they all parked in the lot. They didn't leave their car out on the street. If they'd left their car out on the street, they would not have taken your suggestions to come into the lot. Right? But it could also mean that they're very hypnotizable, just not by your parking lot. So we don't know exactly what trance level or state of trance our clients are in unless we ask them. Except for those of you back there who are mind readers, and then you might have some other way of knowing, and that's just not my magic, okay? By all means, you guys teach a class, and I'll come to that and learn to mind read. I can certainly tell things about my clients by watching them and listening to them. I'm more of an audio processor, so I process auditorily more. I want to hear my clients talk about a thing so that I can help them in the way I understand information. My BS is I want to find out about what my client is about. Best way I know how to teach that to you is through observation. A moment ago, when we did the eyes closed thing, right, you were learning from the inside out because you were experiencing it on the inside, and when we came back with an explanation, you went, oh, I get that, because you felt it. So you were learning from the inside out. This time I'm going to have one person learn from the inside out. That would be the volunteer. And the rest of you will learn through observation. You'll watch the volunteer and you'll watch me, and then we'll break it down and talk about it. So I would love to have a volunteer of someone who's got something relatively easy that you want to change. Connie Jo. You want to... Did you say that or did she? Amnesia. You're already in amnesia. Is it something simple?
It's a belief system that was planted in fourth grade. Damn thing out. It's crazy.
This is Connie Jo Holmes, by the way. She's going to have a seat here. I'm Karen Hand. I am a board-certified hypnotist. I practice in Chicago, but I practice exclusively on Zoom, so I really practice globally. I used to have a big center in Chicago where I employed 5 hypnotists, and we saw people in person. I'll get to that in my next talk with Karen Bird that I'll be doing tomorrow. We'll talk about that whole business transition. But now I work exclusively on Zoom, and I see people all over the world. So it works just as well on Zoom as it does in person. So, Connie Jo,
excited.
Well, tell me what it is you want to change. We're a little far apart, if you don't mind.
I am 54. So when I was 10 years old, I think that's how old you are when you're in fourth grade, I remember we had to take a music aptitude test. And it was scored out of 100. I remember the teacher pulling me out in the hallway, and she said, Connie, you shouldn't play an instrument. You scored a 42. I remember the number, 42. I swear to God, from that moment on, I'm just like, boom. I have no music aptitude at all. It could be my absolute favorite song, favorite band.
So wait a minute, let me just stop you for a second.
Yep.
You have absolutely no music aptitude at all, is that right?
Correct.
So do you like, what music do you like?
Hard rock.
Hard rock, who's your favorite?
Probably AC/DC.
So what makes AC/DC better or worse or different than Poison?
More classic.
Well, apparently you have some musical aptitude because you've been able to discern an interesting difference there, right? So I wonder if we could just consider that as you do have musical aptitude.
Yes.
So seriously, what is it that you're lacking? Because we now know you have aptitude. You understand music. And we know that you know what you like and what you don't like.
I guess I just have a block. Like, music notes, I don't understand that. I haven't had a lot of exposure to things.
What about the notes do you not understand?
They look like a foreign language to me.
They are. They are. Okay, so what is it that, let's say you acquire the ability to read music, okay? Because that's taking a class and learning some an alphabet, right?
Yeah.
Let's say that happens. What do you want to do with that? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you want to change?
I want to get rid of, because I feel like there's a block in my head that is way back here that is the number 40. Look, I pull my hair back even. The number 42.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you silly girl, you don't know music.
You silly girl, you don't know music. So close your eyes for just a second. Can you see that teacher?
Yes.
And male or female?
Female.
And is she above you?
Yes.
Yes. I'm curious. This may be really silly. If she were kneeling, would it change anything?
I felt a shift when you just said that.
So as she came down to, on your level and said that to you, now let's go ahead and have her say that to you. Now what does it feel like?
Then it would be more of a discussion. Like I could maybe ask questions.
Well, wow. Since we're in hypnosis and in the imagination, ask her a question.
What does that mean?
Wow. And what would she say?
That it's scored out of 100 and you didn't perform well. And then I would believe I would ask, well, what can I do about that?
No shit. Of course you would. If she were towering over you and pronouncing things on you, you would say, well, wait a minute, let's figure this out.
I feel that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as you feel that... No, that's all right. You can open your eyes. That's fine. I'm going to veer off for just a second.
Yeah.
The only reason I asked her to close her eyes was because it appeared that that would be something that would help her attach to this memory. Had she thrown the memory out, we'd have just kept talking.
Right.
Okay? But I wanted her to give me information, so I just did a physiological change. Go ahead and close your eyes now and do this. Now, you can open your eyes. So, we'll go back to that, I promise you. We'll go right back in there. So, now that you're on the same level, and she's telling you that your score wasn't the same, now what does that mean to you as a full-grown adult?
It just means that I didn't perform well on the test.
How about it?
Right.
Do you remember the test?
I don't remember a damn detail about the test.
Right. Right. The test had little or no importance to you. But when I asked you your favorite musical group, you knew immediately.
Yeah.
And when I asked you to compare to another one, they weren't your favorite, you knew immediately. Boy, you know a lot about music. And the reason I had to ask her for what her favorite hard rock band might be, I said, I don't know what, you know. I pulled Poison out of thin air, right? And kept my fingers crossed that that was going to be in the same genre.
Good job.
So, what does that little one need? Close your eyes again. Be there. Now we've shrunk the teacher down. Mm-hmm. Where's that 42?
It really is behind my head because now I'm seeing the teacher's face here.
Yeah.
Where we can have a dialogue.
Yeah. So, little one, step back out of the way for a little bit. Go ahead before that. We don't even remember that if you don't mind. And grown up, as you look at that little girl, that little 10-year-old, that little innocent 10-year-old who you know gave it her best shot. What do you think about her?
Looking at it now as an observer, I feel bad for her that she received it that way.
Or that it was placed on her.
Yeah.
That way. And what, as you were noticing that with a little one, what was she doing when she downloaded that behavior to avoid this?
I can see myself. It was like, and then this embarrassment. Wow, I was kind of dumb.
And you haven't been embarrassed by music since then? Yeah! Yeah! That little one did a great thing for you, didn't she? She kept you from being embarrassed all of this time. Didn't she just do a super job? She was only 10! And she came up with a way to keep you from being embarrassed all this time. Grown up, do you want to get more in touch with music now?
I do.
Talk to that little one. Okay. Close your eyes again. Mm-hmm. Have her face you now. You've got the words inside of you, grown up, that she needs to hear. You're the only one who knows. What might she do now?
What the grown up would say to the
child? Yeah, what might the little one do now? Or what might she do different? Or what can she do now?
It's really feeling like that was a test. And who cares? It was a stupid test. And if I really enjoy this, why don't I go out and learn it? Like I've learned hypnosis.
What do you do when you're approached by bullies now?
I don't even put myself in that situation.
Well, right. But if you were in that situation against your will, what might you do?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the situation. A bully, I would definitely say something back.
You could definitely take care of yourself, right?
Yeah.
So, grown up, what do you want to do with music? What's the first thing you want to do with music?
I think it's about singing. Not I think. It is about singing. So it is, I just want to start singing. I don't care what I sound like, and I'll just get better over time.
Ask her if that's okay with her. The 10-year-old's one concerned about embarrassed.
Yeah, because who cares?
If you just start singing, is she going to be okay with that?
Eventually.
I'm curious. Is there ever a time in her little life where she was free to sing and move around and do anything that she
yes.
wanted to do, move her body and sing and things like totally. That? Can you get in touch with that now?
Yes.
Can you bring that forward to the 10-year-old?
Yes.
That carefree attitude? Where that mean old teacher isn't there anymore, hovering over you?
Yeah.
Can you bring that carefree attitude all the way up to adulthood?
Yeah.
And what happens now if you just sing out?
It's actually kind of fun.
I think you might want to do it.
Right.
Well, we got to test it. We got to test it. I'll sing with you. I've got the worst voice in the world.
Well, and I do have a bad voice, too. But it's funny, though, because I so they are my favorite band, but sitting here right now, it's like the lyrics, I it's hard for me to even come
okay,
up with
what
them.
Lyrics do you know? What lyrics could be? Happy birthday.
I was going to say happy birthday, but that's like the hardest song ever.
Well, good. Let's sing it. Happy birthday to you. Join in. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Y'all next door, next door. Happy birthday to you. You know what? You just got an entire chorus to join you in singing. Because they wanted to join Connie Jo.
Thank you.
Because you have something now to offer. Anything else you want to say to that little one? I don't know, Connie Jo. Close your eyes again. Go back and have that little, go down on her level. Look her straight in the eyes. Tell her the truth. If you lie to her, she can see all the way through that, so don't you dare lie to her. Tell her the truth. If she sings out, if she is her authentic self and just when she wants to express herself does it, will you be proud of her?
Mm-hmm.
Will you love her?
Yes.
Can you hug her?
Yes.
Can you appreciate her for that?
Yes.
Give her a hug and let her know. Now, little one, if you can stand it that she's going to be singing whenever she wants to because it's fun, hug her back. How's that feel?
Good. Good.
Is there a shift?
There was a shift the moment you had me close my eyes because I remember her towering me. And it was just like, done.
So I had a clue about doing submodality shifts, okay? Anybody know why? Anybody know why I was clued into doing submodality shifts? Yes?
Her energy in the beginning or how she was telling you what was going on.
I'm going to say that might have clued you into it. That wasn't what...
Because she kind of looked up or she talked about the person towering over and over.
Okay. Yeah. That would have been a great thing to spot too. Anybody else? Yes?
It's an authority figure and she's
Authority figure, that's yes. All of that is great information. We're taking all the information that we're gathering. The thing that she did that tipped me off, and I'm not, you guys are all right too. Whatever tips you off to the next step is the next step you take. You're taking the feedback and you're acting on it. All of you talked about energy. You talked about looking up. You talked about those. That's all feedback that you would have taken, right? The feedback that tipped me off to submodalities was when she said, it went way behind me. It went way behind me. And so, should we follow up with formal hypnosis? Watch what happens. Because we're going to. That's all right? Okay. So, Connie, in a job, what do you need in a job for it to be enjoyable for you?
For it to be for a purpose.
For it to be for a purpose. And how do you know you've done a good job at something?
I feel it inside of my core. And I'm probably getting outside validation.
Okay.
Inside and outside.
And the outside validation, how do you know that it's positive?
I can usually feel it from the person, and then their words.
Okay. They're, you feel it, and then it's their words.
Yes.
When you do a project, you like to do it alone or with people in a team? How do you like to perform?
It is both. I usually like to do some pre-planning on my own and then do a team environment.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. What's the most relaxing place you can think about?
A place in my on my property.
Ooh, close your eyes. Would you go to that place on your property just for a moment? And I'm not sure, Connie. I've seen pictures on Facebook of your property. I see, in my mind, I see trees. I see lots of blue sky and open air. But I don't know what you see. Go ahead and see what you see there in that special place on your property. Feel it. Relax into it. Enjoy it. Smell the smells. Hear the sounds. And just feel it. That's right. As you let it just allow you to relax completely. Because you came up here today with a purpose of making a change, of changing a belief system, of maybe shrinking down those old, scary beliefs, allowing yourself to come more into you. That old conversation that you heard and have digested all of these years, picked apart and thought about, put some of the memory behind you, I wonder if you can take those words that were said, and I don't know, Connie, if you'll throw those behind you, if you will rewind them to a better place, if you'll slow them down, speed them up, or if you will clip that out of the interaction that you had at the time. That's right. You can edit it in any way that you choose to. Go ahead and upgrade that memory now. You're so good at throwing the 42 behind you. Farther and farther and farther back behind you. Just allowing yourself to consider now any preparation that you might do for musical enjoyment. I don't know if you'll go back and listen to some AC/DC and just really get the words and sing it loud, or if you'll take music lessons. I don't know what you'll do. But when your purpose is clearly in mind, if it's just for your enjoyment, sing out loud. If it's something that you want more study in, that's right. You know exactly what to do because your success strategy is to prepare. Maybe even enlist a team. I can imagine you in a vocal choir. I don't know if you can. I'm just saying that I can. But you can take it in any way that you choose to move forward in your life for pure enjoyment, where you feel the joy inside and you can hear those joining in with you. That's right. Loving you. Appreciating you. Because you, Connie, are your authentic self. It is beautiful. to be full, is it not? Fill yourself up with the wonder of you. And when you're ready, when you've got your plan in place, come on back. How's that feel?
So funny. Thank you. I could not raise my hand quick enough because I saw two chairs. I'm like, I need to get up there. Because so thank you, everybody, for letting me just hogwire myself up here. When you said the number, how I wanted to rework it is I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll have it be out of 50. And then I was like, because 42, or was it 44? I already started to forget the number. But I've said the number, 42 forever, but I was like, oh, is it 44? So I already started to lose the numbers. That was...
Even without the Omen induction. Oh, my God.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
So do you mind if we talk about it a little bit?
No, please.
Okay. Any questions? Were you in a trance?
No. Well,
okay, you laugh first. Give us your input.
Because I knew what you were thinking. You're thinking, there's no way you weren't in a trance. You were. I'm glad that you were in a trance. And I think it's true. I mean, you can say you could be in a trance in any situation. Say, I'm in a trance right now when I'm talking. I mean, you're in a trance right now when you're drinking. That's probably what you were thinking.
So, were you watching her? Were you close enough to see her eyes? What was going on with her eyes?
Her eyes were
fluttering around. Yeah, like crazy. And so it's interesting that our client here says, I don't really think I was in a trance. I don't ask them. I mean, we do here in training, but I don't ask them because my clients pay for the change. Now, if a client walks into me and says, I believe that I have to have my eyes closed and be really knocked out. I'm going to do a lot of deepening, and I'm going to do a lot of the hocus-pocus stuff that I don't even believe in, but they believe in it, okay? Because what I believe is she walked up here in her own trance. I didn't have to create hypnosis or a trance. She was already in that. The only thing I needed to know is how her brain had worked it out. How her brain had put that into her mind. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with you right now?
I'm just thinking about how those numbers just kind of went away. It's still in my head a little bit.
But she wasn't really in a trance. I'm just playing with you because I know I can't.
No, you're right.
So the point of that is somebody doesn't have to have their eyes closed in order to be entranced. Okay? She didn't have her eyes closed when her teacher said, she didn't have her eyes closed, but boy, was she ever in a trance. And did that suggestion, because the teacher just gave her a suggestion. Who is she? Was it Mozart? She was a fourth grade teacher, for heaven's sake. She wasn't in AC/DC. What does she know about musical talent? And what would she have said to who's the lead singer of AC/DC?
I know it. Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson. What would she have said to Brian Johnson if he'd have screeched out in her class? Probably the same thing. And he'd have said what you said and then hit me. Okay, so you took her suggestion, and it's not your fault that you took the suggestion. She had authority over you. She did hypnotize you, or she was in a very hypnotic or authoritarian position and leveled a suggestion, and you took it and made it a belief, and you downloaded the behavior around that belief. And it's been successful for you until you've decided, I don't want that belief anymore.
Right.
Is the belief still there?
No, it's not. I think why it got buried so long is because then every time I would have an experience of something musical that would fail, then it would water that seed a little bit.
Compounding suggestions.
Yeah.
That's what a compounding suggestion is. Some people say, some trainers will say a compounding suggestion is when you say it over and over. That is direct drive suggestion. That's just saying the same suggestion over and over. A compounding suggestion is when there's a suggestion and then you experience it later. In regression, we sometimes call that subsequent sensitizing events or whatever. So these events, because you are still resonating back. Do we know what resonance is? If you're listening to a radio station, God, this is such a hard metaphor to use anymore since terrestrial radio doesn't really exist, but if you're listening to a terrestrial radio and you've got your radio turned to a certain dial, if you want, in Chicago, if you want news 24 hours, you have to have it on 780 AM or 15.1 or something, FM, I don't know, whatever. You have to have it on those places, or you're not going to hear news because the satellite or whatever has to find that receiver. That's emotional, or that's resonance. Okay, it has to resonate with the receiver. If you have a concert piano and a guitar in a room, if you hit a G key hard enough on the piano, it will vibrate the G string on the guitar. That's musical resonance. Okay, that's physics or something. It's science or something. It's not really my ballywick. I hope I'm even giving you that information. The truth of it is less important than the story, okay? That's resonance. So when we have this kind of thing happen, we are resonating with one of those times when it happened before. Okay, we're resonating with the first time where we downloaded the behavior and it's been working for us. And then we resonate again and again and again, which keeps it going. The next time you sing out loud, what are you going to do?
Smile inside. I said that, I'll just smile inside, because I also had a vision of me just, like, kicking that teacher's ass.
Yes! Slapper. What do you do? You know, I want to do that to parents in the grocery store sometime. I'll see a parent saying to the kid, "You make me crazy. This is why I can't take you anyplace." I want to go slap the parent and say, "Do you have any idea what you're suggesting to this child?" I doubt that the teacher knew what she was knowing, what she was doing, but why don't we go find her? I'll go with you. let's all go. Okay. Anybody have any questions for Connie about what she experienced or what occurred there? Anybody? Yes.
I would like to suggest that she took her app to the Genius Bar.
Oh, God. Yes, I'm taking that in, the Genius Bar. I don't know that I've ever been called the Genius Bar. And the Genius Bar is so intimidating. Those 20-year-old children are so in tune. Anything you want to add? In my mind. Now, we're talking about hypnosis. You're welcome to stay and continue with this, or if you're uncomfortable, you can go back and meditate with me. But we're talking about hypnosis. Everything.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Really, thank you for coming up. Everything. Yes. Thank you, Connie, very much. Everything, in my opinion. Everything is hypnosis. Everything is hypnosis. I set the stage for you today so that you would walk in and form an impression. Now, I got to be honest with you. I am not everybody's cup of tea, and that's just fine with me. I don't have time for everybody. Okay? So I believe that we know ourselves. We figure out who we are and what we do, and then we offer that to people. I heard a talk at one point where someone said, "Oh, man, you know, I got a client once, and they just come from another hypnotist who had crystals and all sorts of other stuff in their office." And, well, they came to you because they weren't that other hypnotist's client. But I guarantee you, if I want a mind reader, I'm going to her. Or you. Either one of you. Right? Because that's what I'm looking for. And if I'm looking for someone who uses essential oils, I'm going to go to the essential oils expert. And if I'm looking for someone who does past life, or I want to do past life regression, I want to look for the past life regression expert. When you go to a doctor, you want to find the expert. And I really think that we ought to borrow more from the medical profession and how they do things. Because they do their thing. I've had both of my hips replaced. There are lots of ways people do hip replacements. A girlfriend of mine who is a ballerina had the, it's a frontal approach. The name escapes me at the moment. There's the posterior approach and the anterior approach. She is a ballerina and she had her hips replaced with the anterior approach, and there are zero restrictions to that procedure. Zero restrictions. So she went on to be a ballerina. When I needed a hip replacement, that's what I wanted. Right? The other ones, you have to have a special toilet. You can't bend your legs in certain ways. The other hip replacement, the other posterior approach, because they cut through muscle. So anyway, I wanted that approach. I went to a couple of orthopedic surgeons. One who said he wouldn't do that procedure on me, that he thought I would do better with the other procedure. What I heard in my head was, you're too fat for this procedure. I will only do the other one. I was disappointed. Didn't hire that orthopedic surgeon. I heard another orthopedic surgeon talk about, yes, some people won't do it on people who are very heavy because there is an artery that they have to work around, and some doctors don't want to take the risk. But this particular guy who was talking said he's going to perform this surgery on a heavy person because it's the only thing that's going to get them out of the chair walking so that they will live longer. And so, yes, he will do that. I didn't go to that particular surgeon, but I went looking for the anterior approach. There were lots of surgeons who didn't do that. I didn't employ them. There are lots of people who want hypnotists that aren't you. Don't be offended, right? Do what you do, and the people who want what you do will come to you.
Whoa.
Oh, there it is. That was weird. Well, yeah, I can bend and do that now. If you'd have seen me a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have been able to get it. I'd have been asking somebody else to get that for me. So anyway, people make judgments, okay? That's their right to do. Your job is to be the best you that you can be. I love Connie Jo's business. Be you to be full. Authenticity. Right? Be whatever you are and put it out there. And if somebody doesn't like it, they'll go someplace else. That's all. But if somebody likes it, they will come here. And that's what you will have to provide. Now, the other part about it is responsibility. I don't take responsibility for my clients' change. They have to be responsible for their change. And I do that in the intake. If they call me and say, can you make me quit smoking? God, no. Do you want to quit smoking? No, my wife wants me to. When you want to quit smoking, you call me. But I can't make you do something you don't want to do. I actually can if we have the right leverage. There was a 72-year-old woman who came to me and wanted to quit. Well, she didn't want to quit smoking, but she needed to quit smoking. I got to be honest with you. She was 72 years old. I was considerably younger then, and that sounded really old to me. And I said, I'm thinking in my own head, 72, honey, why now? Just enjoy life. She didn't have a medical diagnosis. Her doctor didn't tell her to quit. So I wanted to know, what do we have to work with here? Why now? And she said, my grandchildren are learning about how bad smoking is. They don't want to come over to my house anymore. They say it stinks. And when they come in, they say, Grandma, you're going to die.
Oh, my God.
All the leverage I needed, right? She didn't want to quit, but we had all the leverage we needed for her to make the change. It took 7 sessions.
Wow. But you did quit.
Well, I ask another question when it comes to smokers. Do you want to go cold turkey or do you want to taper off? If they want to go cold turkey, that's a 1 session, in and out, we're done. But often they say, I can taper off? That indicates to me when they say that they weren't ready to quit right away anyway. And when I offer them the other option, oh, I can say a slow goodbye? Yes, you can. That's going to be more sessions, however. That'll be a minimum of 3. Okay. Well, this woman, it took 7. But on her 6th session she quit. On her seventh session, she came in and said, I haven't had a cigarette for a week. But she did taper off slowly. Along the way, we made many discoveries. The most important discovery for her, in her case, was this was her last link to her youth. When she got pregnant, she quit drinking. When her kids were older, she quit cussing. When they got to a certain age, she quit going out dancing because she needed to take care of the kids, yada, yada, yada. This was her last link to her youth. So all she needed was some rebellion. So I helped her find something else to rebel with. She went and took a line dancing class and started dancing again, right? She had a diversion. But the point is, the leverage to quit was the grandkids weren't going to come over anymore if she didn't. We had the leverage even if she didn't want to. But my wife wants me to quit. It's not leverage enough. You make the decision. Then I'm being used as, well, even the hypnotist couldn't make me do it. See how addicted I am? I'm not going to be used that way.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that there is leverage for a change. What change do you want to make? And now, tell me how you're running this program right now. How's that program running? And you know what a Jenga tower is? When I do this in a longer, when I do this in a workshop, we have a Jenga tower. And you know the principle. If you do, you, anybody not know what a Jenga tower is? A blocks. Okay, it's a tower of blocks that are stacked. And the object of the game is to pull out blocks without toppling the tower. Okay, and you restack it. My plan is that in reverse. I want to know just the block that I can pull out to topple the whole belief. Okay? The belief is contingent on a number of different things. I only need one loose bolt or something to collapse it all down. I didn't know where we were going with Connie. She knew where we were going. Did you notice that I didn't give any suggestions? But do you have some suggestions?
Did I?
Do you have some ideas or some thoughts about what to do?
Yes.
Because she did her own work in her own mind. Remember, remember when I made her forget the numbers?
Yeah.
I didn't. But our clients are going to do their own work in their own mind, no matter what we say to them anyway. So why not just get out of the way and let them do their own work? That 42, which tipped me off to work on submodalities, was obviously very important to her, and she changed it. I didn't have to have the perfect answer. I needed to have the questions. Because this is reverse fractionation. So I actually have probably enough handouts for you. Oh, the handouts are here. I'm going to pass this around first on each side. That is, let me have one of them over here. There is the QR code for the handout, but I think I might have enough. You can pass those around too. I like to use the reverse fractionation technique. That's not the greatest word in the title in the world, but that's what I call it. You know what fractionation is? It has two sides. It does have two sides. The back side is the sales side. It will get you to my... What? You don't have to take that if you don't want it. If you don't want the piece of paper, take a picture of the QR code. If you, yes, if you don't, I'm sorry, I should have explained that. If you don't want the piece of paper, take the QR code. If you take the QR code, you can still have the piece of paper. I don't care. But I'm just saying you don't have to clutter your stuff up with paper. You're right. You're right. So I like to work with what my client brings in. I want to know how they're running their program right now. You've got some questions there that you can ask. What do you want? What is that doing for you? What's it going to do for you when you don't have it? They're all outcome specification questions. I would beseech you to look at them, learn what they are. All I asked from Connie was, what is it? How are you running? I don't even remember what I asked her now, but we got to what she wanted and how it got there. Along the way, as you're having this conversation with your client, remember they are in trance when they come into your office or they start the Zoom call. because they came to you for a purpose. One of her value words was purpose. Remember that? And so now that you're doing this with a purpose, you just feed their value words back to them because those words have meaning to them. I don't need to know what it means to them. I just need to know that that's a word that resonates with them. So first I'm going to ask what they want to change, what's that going to do for them, what's stopping them from changing it already, if I didn't discern that at some point, and what are you going to get, what are you going to do to get there? That is the whole wide awake outcome way to go. Read the questions, learn what they are, and then put them in your own words and just make it a conversation. Just talk about it. They will reveal everything that is important for this session to you as you're talking. They will reveal everything they're going to do. As soon as she told me it was in fourth grade, we'll probably go back there. Okay? I'm not saying that regression is the thing you have to do every time. I'm just saying that if they say, I know exactly where it started, I've done this my whole life, or it started in fourth grade or whatever. There are trainers that have told me, don't listen to the conscious mind because it doesn't know what it's talking about anyway. Get into the subconscious mind. That's where all the meat is. I believe that's where all the meat is and all the work is done. But I believe the conscious mind, A, hired me, and B, is living with all of this and is going to tell me what's going on. So I listen to the conscious mind and entertain it and then read between the lines. So the conscious mind told me what was going on. I don't try to get beyond the conscious mind. I don't try to leave it out of the process. I dance with the one that brung me. So the conscious mind gets to play with this process too. As soon as I ask a question, any question, what's your name?
Elaine.
Now, Elaine didn't have to go inside to give me that answer, but when I say, what was your first car?
My first car. Yeah. I know what it was. Dodge Dart.
But she still has to go into memory because it's not something that's happening right now. She uses every day. She had to go into memory to retrieve it. So she went inside her mind, retrieved the answer, and came back out and told it to me.
Actually, I didn't have to do that. But I just
It was instant. It was instant, but it still had to happen that way because it wasn't present at the moment, right? So our neural pathways work really fast. So if your client says, well, I didn't have to think about it, well, no, because the neural pathways work fast. It moves at the speed of thought. That's fast. That's fast. So they have to go inside to come up with the answer, come back outside to tell it to you. You ask another question or say, tell me about that. Tell me about that is the best deepener I know. Tell me about that, because then they have to go back inside their mind, retrieve some details, and then come back out and tell you. Oh, tell me more about that. Retrieve more details, come back out. That's deepening the regression trance. That's what I was doing with Connie. Tell me what happened. Well, and she told me 42, and it was, see, I even pulled my hair when it's way back there. Okay, are we going to throw that number 42 back there? Are we going to throw this belief back there? What are we going to do with that? We're going to do something with the submodalities. Tell me about that instant. Well, we're out there in the hallway. She took me out in the hallway. So now I'm getting into the trance with her. I'm not trancing out because I still have to be in control, but now I'm imagining it with her. Oh, the fourth grader is now removed from the classroom, taken out into the hallway. I'm getting pissed at this teacher. And I'm seeing the teacher looking down at the four-year-old saying, you just shouldn't do this. No kidding. Can we all now see what's happening? So I threw out some ideas. I don't like to call them suggestions. I threw out some ideas. So was she... Were you looking up at her? Yes, I was. Okay. Let's pull that down and see what happens. So I had a woman who came to me because there was a woman in her office whose voice just drove her crazy. She couldn't stand it. And she needed help to deal with this woman. So as we were talking about it a little bit, I said, you know, I'm curious, if you took her voice and turned it down, made it slower, what might that do? And she said, oh, God, that would prolong the agony. And I said, absolutely, man, don't do that. If she were a cartoon character, what cartoon character might she be? And she said, I don't really know cartoons very well. I said, yeah, is there a voice that you really like? Someone's voice that you really like? And she said, oh, my aunt. I love it. Such a nice voice. I said, where do you store? Just point to where you store her voice. And she said, right there. And I said, wow, that's really interesting. And that lady, you hate her voice. Where is that? And she said, it's over here. I said, this is really silly. But just play with me for a second. Move her voice over here and tell me what happens. And she went, oh, well, that changed everything. I want you to notice what I did. I made the decision that submodalities might work here for some reason. So I threw one out. Slow it down. Oh, God, that wouldn't work. And because I'm very animated and we're just having conversation, I'm like, God, yeah, don't do that. That would be terrible. So what if you made it a cartoon? I don't know cartoons. Yeah, right. Tell me about some. I just went to the next technique. Seamlessly. I didn't say, boy, I'm stupid. I shouldn't have thrown that out. I didn't say, well, you better go work with somebody else because obviously I don't know what we're doing here. I just threw out some ideas, right? I wasn't making suggestions. Notice I didn't say, turn her voice down. I said, God, I wonder what might happen if the direction suggestion is you turn her voice down. She responded to the direct suggestion, oh, God, no, but I hadn't given a suggestion according to the conscious mind, which is looking for all of those clues. I was just curious.
And I heard
right?
you say that, and even in this, like, I wonder what would happen if.
That's right. I practice the curiosity frame. Hmm. I am relentlessly curious. Because what I know is we are all humans. We are all always in a trance. I know that you don't live your life the same way I do. Or you or anybody. I know that we do things alike a lot. And boy, it's so fun when we find out things that we have in common. But what I want to know from my client is how they are doing it. I can't tell them how. I could tell them how I might change that or a great suggestion I know to do, but that would work for me. So I need to ask my client. The 400-pound guy who I referenced came in for smoking, I did have a big guy who came in for more exercise, to move more, right? I didn't give him the suggestion about putting his feet in shoes and going off to walk, although that is a damn fine suggestion. I didn't give him that one. I said, what might you do to exercise more? And he said, man, I don't know. I've been sitting on the couch for 3 or 4 years. I don't even know what I would do. And I said, do you like to walk at all? And he said, I don't think I can walk very far. And I said, do you brush your teeth? Break state. That was stupid, right? But it broke what we were talking about. Movement. It broke his limiting belief and he can't. And I said, do you brush your teeth? And he said, well, yeah. I said, what do you do with your feet when you brush your teeth? And he said, nothing. And I said, I wonder, I'm just curious, while you're brushing your teeth, I wonder if you could kind of march in place, just right there, or, you know, shift your weight back and forth or something like that while you're brushing, just while you're brushing your teeth. And he said, I've got a Sonicare. That's 2 minutes of brushing. I could do that. I could march in place while I'm doing that. I think I can do that. And I went, absolutely. Now, where else might you kind of just shift your weight or march in place when you're waiting on something? And he said, I have a Keurig while I'm waiting on my coffee. I could do that. And when I fill up my water bottle at the refrigerator, I could do that. And when I'm standing in a grocery store line, I could do that. But that's not exercise, is it? And I said, it's more exercise than you were doing yesterday, isn't it? Now, what I got him to buy into was moving his body and changing a limiting belief that I can't. When we changed the belief to I could, the guy who couldn't come up with any ideas at all came up with the Keurig, the refrigerator, and the grocery store line. So my job is to change the I can't to the I can. I want to find out where the I can't resides. I want to find out where the limiting belief that is stopping action resides. And then I want to do the reverse Jenga. I want to pull out the block that's going to topple the tower. Okay? I actually want to tear the tower down or the belief structure down. And if I collapse one thing, the number that the script that Connie has been repeating since fourth grade, right, the well-worn path, the script, just got mowed over because she can't use that number anymore. Now we're collapsing the whole limiting belief. It can't stand anymore. It can't stay there. It can't continue to operate in that way. So I don't have to change everything about a person. I don't have to have all of the answers. The day I understood that I didn't have to have the answers, that my client has the answers, and it's my job to be curious and help them reveal those answers to themselves, that was the day that everything opened up to me. That was the day that I stopped looking for scripts. I stopped trying to find the right thing. I just use whatever is happening in my life that I can pull out of thin air and throw it out there. What's happening in theirs? I don't even remember all the stuff we talked about, but we talked about moving sizes. We talked about other different things. What the point is we want the shift. We want the shift. And what you watched me do was the reverse fractionation technique. What I'm doing is taking the trance that exists. I'm not building a trance. I'm taking the trance that exists, collapsing the trance that exists, and then rebuilding a better thinking thought. So, with your handout, what you have is the outcome specification questions. So these are questions that can get you going. I'm going to tell you the truth here. You could take those questions and ask them in order as if you're a doctor filling out a form. Okay? And they will still go from problem state to solution state because that's what the questions are designed to do. It's designed to have them thinking from the problem state to the solution state. It's hard to come up with a solution when you're in the problem state, so the questions artificially get you out of that problem state. Now, if you have a client who just drills down on the problem, they keep wanting to talk about the problem, they keep wanting to talk about the problem, they keep wanting to talk about the problem, you notice that we didn't talk about the problem very much. At some point, Connie wanted to tell me more, and I just stopped her. Because that is the well-worn script that has just been running all the time. I want to break that state. So sometimes I'll tell my clients, I'm really rude, I interrupt, but this is really helpful. Oh, no, that's okay. Or I'll say something like, oh, I'm going to ask the dumbest question right now. I think I even said that to you. Because I'm moving to a different thing. So the top questions on your handout are the outcome specification. That's designed to take your client from a problem to a solution. That middle part in there is debate theory. I learned all of my best therapy tips from high school debate. I was a competitive debater in high school. When we went to a debate competition, I had to we had to do four debates. Two of them affirmative, two of them negative. So we went into the debate with an established question. We went into the debate with a script. We had written a perfect plan for this operation, whatever it was. And the person on the negative side had to pick apart that plan and prove that it couldn't work. That was fun. That's what I do with my clients. They walk in with their plan. I listen carefully to their plan and find out anything that I can question or pull apart. I'm not going to tell them, boy, is that stupid, unless it is. And then we might laugh about that. But I'm going to ask questions about that. Really? I mean, was she Mozart? Right? Diminishing the view of the teacher, diminishing the authority of the teacher, diminishing elements of the teacher, pulling out blocks of the belief, right? And as those blocks come out, the belief has to collapse. It has to crumble. Now, that doesn't mean that we fix everything in one session. Okay? Because sometimes new aspects will come up. Sometimes something else will happen. And so sometimes people have to come back and we have to work on more things. If it's tapering off smoking, it takes more than one session. If it's weight loss for me, it takes more than one session because different aspects come up. But other than that, it really is pretty much a one session collapsing beliefs. The bottom part that you have on your handout, those are the personal trance words. Those are the things I asked Connie before I hypnotized her. Because that gives me her value words. Now I toss her value words back to her, repeating what we have just looked at, that she's already done the work on consciously and subconsciously with her eyes wide open or in conversation. We repeat that and then she does all of her own work, which is where she collapsed 42, all on her own. You are brilliant. Thank you very much for making the change. So, that is how I de-hypnotize first and then hypnotize at the end, after the change has already been made. I have magic words and language patterns, which is how to form great suggestions, and trance dance, which is really what we did here today. It's a look at how to reverse the fractionation. I also do mentoring and tutoring and training, and you can reach me at KarenHand.com.